guardian angels, and patron saints. Pray for us. Our scripture readings today present a beautiful mutual explanation between the meaning of Jesus' saying in the gospel, "I am the gate," and these words from the New Testament in the Acts of the Apostles and the preaching of St. Peter. That puzzling phrase, "I am the gate," we come to understand what that means, that Jesus is speaking poetically as the point of entry into the flock. As we pray in the Mass, "Count us among the flock of those you have chosen." Access to membership within the flock, the protection of the shepherd, is gained through Jesus. And St. Peter, in our second reading today, makes it clear. You have been called into the flock because Christ suffered for you, and he left an example that you should follow. St. Peter then goes on to explain, what is that example? He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When he was insulted, he returned no insult. When he suffered, he did not threaten. This is what allows us to pass through the gate into the flock. Imitation of Christ, who suffered as an innocent lamb, led to slaughter. And so we're called to imitate him in his silence, to return for a curse, not another curse, but a blessing. St. Peter, in his homily on Pentecost Sunday, in the first reading, the Acts of the Apostles, insists, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." And this is precisely what it means to do so, to be saved from the corrupt form of relationship that is standard and normal in a sinful and broken world. And that relationship, those sets of relationships, can be defined as: when I'm insulted, I insult you back. When I suffer, I come at you with threats to put you on notice. This is the pattern of our lives. We feel entirely justified when insulted, returning the insult and adding a little extra seasoning on top to make it a little spicier than the one we got. When we're suffering, we feel entirely justified in lashing out. And we excuse it, saying, "But I was afraid," or "I was angry." This is not the way. This is not the path that Jesus lays out for us. This is not entry into the sheepfold. Jesus reveals to us the true nature of what we call the virtue of meekness. We hear that word sometimes and we associate it with weakness. But meekness is not weakness. Meekness has a very specific meaning, and the reason we can attribute it to Jesus is that he possesses it most perfectly. Not weakness, but meekness. Meekness is defined as having the power and choosing not to use it for the good of others. Of course, we know Jesus had the power to strike down every single one of his torturers, his executioners, the blink of an eye. He had the power to preserve himself, to take control of the situation, to shame those who sought his life, and to seek their lives in return, even to damn them. But he did not use this power. Instead, he freely chose to submit in meekness for the good of those he serves. And we too then are called to imitate Christ's meekness to the extent that we have power to restrain its use for the good of those for whom we are responsible. And we live this out, we practice this above all in the cases that St. Peter talks about in the second reading from the first letter of St. Peter. When we are insulted, to return no insult, and when we suffer, not to threaten. To refuse to follow our fallen instincts in situations of conflict and difficulty. So today, I'd like to ask you to think on a situation, recent or perhaps in the more distant past, where you were insulted, when you were mistreated, when perhaps you were passed up for an important promotion or recognition because someone else snuck in, took credit for something that you did, or who deceived and twisted the story so that you were left aside, neglected, mistreated, not recognized. Some situation where someone insulted you and you unleashed the full power of your response to put them in their place. And to whatever extent we still carry a sense in our hearts that's a justifiable situation, or perhaps a situation where you felt powerless to do anything to defend yourself, to pray for the grace to look upon that person or that group not so much as your enemy as your greatest friend. Not your enemy, but your greatest friend. In fact, when we suffer insults, persecutions, hardships, poverty, mistreatment, as the result of the injustice of someone in our lives, in fact, we have the chance to enter the gate. They show us the gate by which we may enter, imitating our meek Savior, who left us an example that we should follow in his footsteps. To look upon our enemies as those who have pointed the way to the entry into the fold. I am the gate, Jesus says. I am the gate for the sheep. Whoever enters through me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The grace that we ask for is something supernatural. To be able to respond to situations of mistreatment in this way is a supernatural grace. It's beyond our powers as human beings. We must have God's help. We beg him, the Good Shepherd, who is eager to provide this help for us. However far we may have gone astray as sheep, Lord, let us return to you, the shepherd and guardian of our souls. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.